This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Good evening and welcome to Harrison District 2 School Board Election Candidate Forum, where along with our co-sponsors, we have gathered candidates for District 2 School Board to answer your questions, the voters. So thank you again for being here. My name is Shelley Roars. I am the spokesperson for the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak region and your host this evening. So we're going to just jump right into it. Again, we are your hosts. Your moderators this evening are two students. So again, we're trying new things thanks to our voter service team and our team chair. We're working with to try some different things. And your moderators this evening are, we're going to try this. Here we go. I practice. Candelora Denun. Denisha, okay, she's a senior at Harrison High School, and Misha Rawlings, a junior at Sierra High School. So welcome to your moderators this evening. And in front of you, the focus are candidates in ballot order this evening. Sharia Elliott Starling, first on your ballot. Mr. Corey Williams. And Dr. Pamela Robinson at your end of your ballot. So thank you, candidates, for being here this evening as well, running for District 2 School Board. Your timekeeper in front of you, candidates, one of the most important people in the room in addition to you, Joan Hofer. Make sure you're on point when she holds up that stop sign. Wrap up your thoughts, please. You have about 5 seconds before we cut you off. Your question takers this evening, league members, Kelly Perry, Connie Tate, Molly Williams and Denny Weber, and of course the infamous June Waller out there. So thank you so much for being there. If you have questions, audience members, you know, to fill out those cards. And again, a shout out to our voter service team. These are under our voter education things that we do as a league. So we greatly appreciate all the work during election season. Monitoring our YouTube. Again, hello to those of you in the room. I think that's our camera over there. Those of you that are watching later on as well, if it's not convenient for you to be here at 6:30 on a Tuesday, you are welcome to watch this at your convenience in your pajamas, as long as you are an educated voter. We so appreciate that. Handling our audio and video needs in the back is Dave, Studio 809 Podcast. So thank you, Dave. And I believe, I'm sorry, I forgot the district person who's here with us this evening. So thank you for him as well. And a huge thank you to our co-sponsors. We've got the Black and Latino Leadership Coalition, Citizens Project, Colorado Latinos Vote, KRCC, Colorado Springs NAACP, Studio 809 Podcast, and Together Colorado Faith Table. So thank you, a huge thank you to our sponsors. And I believe Citizens Project is here with us this evening, and we would like to invite him up to say a little bit about them.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Good evening.
I know a lot of familiar faces in the room. Just briefly, big thing that we're focused on is voter turnout, especially in the southeast of the city. It's the third lowest voter turnout in the state. We did a low voter turnout survey last year. We're going to do that again next year to kind of see what progress is being made. So the biggest thing I want to implore you is to get to you vote, of course, and I'm assuming you will if you're here, and to implore those around you to vote. So thank you all for attending.
Thank you, Mike. Again, our co-sponsors believe what we believe as well, and encouraging others to vote is one of those things as we need your help with. So thank you so much for reaching out to anyone you don't even know. Elected officials with us this evening. I know I saw Representative Regina English. Hello. Thank you so much for being here. Ms. J.J. Frazier is also with us this evening. Thank you. Did I miss any other elected officials? I'm sorry. Joyce Salazar and Michelle Hills. Thank you. Both District 2. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I missed both of you coming in. I apologize for that. Anyone here that is running for office that is not a school board candidate, or anyone else that I missed running for office? No? All right.
Yes, I'm running for re-election.
Oh. Representative Regina English running for re-election. Thank you so much. So about the league, specifically why we recognize those people before, we are nonpartisan, which means we do not endorse candidates, we do not support candidates, we don't oppose candidates. As a nonprofit organization, we are dedicated to empowering voters and defending democracy. We are a membership organization. All of us are volunteers, and it is not just for women. We have some men, right, members, and student membership is free. So you don't have to pay anything to be a part of our organization. So if you are a civics engaged individual, like myself and all of us league members, and those of you that are here tonight seem civically engaged, please consider becoming a member with us. Again, we do not support endorsed candidates, but sometimes we do take a stance on certain issues, like fully funding public education is a big one for us, right? So we do support some ballot initiatives, but, you know, or oppose, and sometimes don't even take a stance. But do know that that is a little bit of a nuance for us, all right? Video of this event will remain available on our YouTube channel, LWVPPR, so look for that. Also available in our podcast, Making Democracy Work. Thank you again, Studio 809 podcast. You can find all of those links on our website, lwvppr.org. A part of our voter education and empowering you as voters is vote411.org. All of the candidates, if you have not received it yet, you should have gotten a survey for the from the league, ask you some specific questions. You, as a voter, can go to vote411.org live as of October 16th when your ballots drop. You will get the answers to those questions if you would like to educate yourself more. Tonight's forum format for you candidates and as the audience, you will get up to 2 minutes to do your introductions. Your answers will be 30 seconds to 2 minutes, depending upon what the moderators choose for each question. So the moderators, again, remind you to announce at the beginning of each question how much time the candidates have, so your timekeeper then knows to set their alarm. Again, watch for that red stop sign. Wrap up your thoughts, please. Audience members, this is a forum. Candidates don't go back and forth with regards to answering each other's questions. They answer your questions. Do not shout out during the forum. At the very end, we'll get you to save your applause until the end, and we'll give you adequate time for that so we can keep things going. Other than that, I'm going to turn it over to your moderators, and they're going to take it from here.
Hi, my name is Candelora Denisho. I'm very happy to be a moderator tonight because I would love to be involved with politics, and I just want to hear your guys' opinions and different ways that you're going to better our school district.
And I'm Misha Rawlings. I'm also really loving that we as students are getting our voices heard and being able to hear for ourselves what our elected officials want to do for our district.
Okay, we're going to start with our candidate introductions, and we are starting first with Ms. Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Hi. Hello, everyone. My name is Sharia Elliott Sterling. I've been a resident of the district for the last 3 years. I'm interested in running because I'm a mother of three, two of which actually go to school within our district. And I'm most interested in making sure that my children, as well as all the children within the district, are proficient in reading, writing, and math, and that we have parent support, that we protect parent rights, and that we have support for all of our teachers as they teach our students.
Next up, we are going to be next up to introduce themselves is going to be Mr. Corey Williams.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Corey Williams. I am your current school board president. I've been the president for the past 2.5 years. I've served on the board for the past 4 years. My family and I came here by way of the military. I served 5 years at Fort Carson. Decided that I wanted to continue to serve my community after leaving the military. I am a proponent of parents' choice, as well as protecting our students' rights to individualize themselves, as well as I am a proponent of... Sorry, I almost went into daddy mode for a second. Where the district has seen me and my family grow, and I am glad to be a part of this D2 family. I'm a big proponent of what we do as a community. I believe strongly in community equity and that we are a community of many communities. And so I would like to continue the work that we've been doing here for the past 4 years. Thank you.
All right, and then next up to introduce themselves is Dr. Pamela Robinson.
Good evening, everyone. I am Pamela Robinson, and I have been a member or resident of the D2 community for 26 years. I've been an educator for 33 years. I began my career in Europe when my husband was stationed there as a paraprofessional, transitioning then to a fifth grade teacher. I then came here to, we were stationed here, and I began substituting for several districts around the community. Harrison was one of those, and I truly enjoyed working here in Harrison, and I got hired. I worked at Otero Elementary, and then I transferred over to Stratmore Hills Elementary, where I served the parents, patrons, and students of that community for 25 years, 6 years as a teacher, and 19 years as a principal. I recently retired, and last year had the wonderful opportunity to work with students who were enrolled in the concurrent enrollment and the CTE career tech ed programs at Harrison and Sierra High School. We truly, my family and I, love this community. We have three daughters. Two graduated from Harrison High School, one graduated from Sierra High School. We also have two grandsons, and I actually have one currently on the way at the hospital. She's at the hospital now. And they currently attend D2 schools as well. And so I just hope something is said that will encourage you to consider me to be a board member for D2. Thank you.
Okay, now moving into our first question, you will have 1 minute to answer. Is how will you ensure the school district addresses the needs of our diverse student population? Mr. Corey Williams, you will be up first.
Very nice. How I will ensure that we continue to address the needs of our diverse population here. We are big on having a lot of heart in this community, and we are big on understanding that all of our students don't start at the same place, and we meet our students where they are. Some of those students are coming to us with needs of hunger. Some of those children are coming to us with needs of love. And so our staff has been so strong in that area of being that support that some of those students may not have in their home life. We've done a very good job of continuing to ensure that all children get what they need, and we're still providing a good education for them.
Thank you. And then second up will be Dr. Pamela Robinson.
When you say diverse, I think of the wide range. We have gifted education students. We have our special ed, and we have everything in between. We also have various cultural diverse students. Right now, we have about 50-some percent in our district who are Hispanic. And even within the Hispanic culture, there's diversity. So we need to look at a lot of things we need to look at the needs of those students. What do we need? What do our higher achieving students need, our middle of the road, and our lower students? And I think that we are on the path when I think about classroom being the first focus of our strategic plan and culture, and now we're looking at community. So we first got to kind of zero in on what do students need, and that's listening to their voices. What are they telling us? And then we start from there along with all of the things that we know the state requires us to do.
And lastly will be Ms. Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. To ensure that we handle the needs of our diverse students, I believe we first have to assess the problems that are there, being honest about what their educational needs are. And from there, we make sure that we have the proper resources to meet those needs. Wherever we're lacking, we need to close the gap where they're lacking. And then we also need to connect them with the proper resources outside of the educational needs in order to make sure that we're fully supporting the students and also maintaining the integrity of meeting the mission of educating them.
All right, moving on to our next question. This question will last 1 minute. How will you specifically support the LGBTQIA+ students in our district? And answering firstly is Dr. Pamela Robinson.
First of all, definitely looking at House Bill 21-1108, which definitely tells us that everyone has civil rights and that we are to respect those rights, whether it is, I guess you could say, a disability to sexual orientation. So we need to follow the law first and foremost. Then we need to, again, rally around our students. What is it that our students need? We can assume we know, but we need to also bring in our counseling resources, whatever outside resources, because I do truly believe it takes a village. And so we need to be the core of that village, making sure they have everything they need, because primarily we are an educational institution, but we need to make sure our social, emotional components are in place as well. And so once we get to the core of that, I think we can focus on need.
Answering that question next is going to be Ms. Sharia Elliott-Sterling.
Thank you. So to support our LGBT students, I believe that education is no respecter of color or gender. So if our focus is always to educate our students and make sure they're proficient, then we're already doing what needs to be done in order to support our students. Thank you.
All right, and then lastly is Mr. Corey Williams.
I believe in order to continue to support our LGBTQIA students, that we continue to be open arms to them. When they need support, we're listening to what they have to say. Their experience might be a bit different from others' experiences, and we can only truly learn from their experiences, and giving them a voice to voice those opinions, those experiences, can better help us understand how we can better support them. So definitely listening to that student voice is most important.
Thank you. And then our third question will be, what are your thoughts, you will have 30 seconds, sorry. What are your thoughts on the current budget for the district? And going first will be Ms. Sharia Elliott-Sterling.
I'm still learning a lot about the budget and how school finances work. But I believe when it comes to school finances, our financial priorities should always match our academic priorities. And so we should always make sure that we are allocating the proper funds first to the classroom to make sure that our students are supported, and then to other resources based off of educational need.
And then next up will be Mr. Corey Williams.
In order to address the budgetary issues that we're having, we have to, and you guys have heard in some of our meetings, we've got to start talking to the state. There are needs in our district that we are continuing to meet even without the budget, and so we need that financial support from the state where they should be stepping in.
And lastly, Dr. Pamela Robinson.
As we look at the budget, of course, across the nation, we know that education is not funded. And I will say my opinion as strongly as it should, but in D2, excluding a big chunk of it goes to salaries, but after those salaries, it is to the classroom. We are one district that offers free lunch prior to lunch, breakfast, and all of that, even being given to us from the state. In addition, we supply all of our supplies. We also ensure that our students have I would love for it to always go straight to the classroom.
All right, for this next question, you candidates are going to have 1 minute. There are two high schools in D2. Only one offers the JROTC program. Students from Sierra High School are transported via bus to Harrison High School for the first period JROTC. Do you think Sierra High School would benefit from having their own JROTC program, given Colorado Springs' large military and veterinary and vet population? And then going first is going to be Mr. Corey Williams.
Yes. Okay. Yes, they would benefit from having a JROTC program, but I would like to see it in Army ROTC. I'm an Army vet myself, and love that this is a predominantly Air Force town, but I would love to see some Army officers coming from our students right here. This would be a great place
We have great leaders in every age group, every grade level. I would love to see some Army officers come out of Harrison School District too.
All right, next up is going to be Dr. Pamela Robinson.
I also agree. I definitely think the school would benefit from its own program. We also need to assess, or do we have the interest? You know, I don't know. I look at the numbers, definitely familiar with the students being bused, but do we have the numbers to support it? And then we also have to look at the resources that it will take. You know, we're going to need someone from the armed forces to come in and do the instruction and so on. So there's a lot to that. But the question was, do I feel that that's a vital, but it's important definitely, if there is a strong interest.
All right. And then last is going to be Ms. Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. I would also agree that it would be a benefit to have that program at the other high school as long as there is interest to support that, having that program there.
For our next question, you will have 30 seconds to respond. What do you see as the role for early education now that there is universal pre-K? And going first is going to be Dr. Pamela Robinson.
Preschool is just dear to my heart. It is vital. We have to hook those babies and get them ready for kindergarten because the standards are getting stronger and stronger, a little more challenging. But right now, I'm with the district. We need to push for that money that we were, I don't want to say promised. I know things happen, but we need to work with the governor and get that money funneled down. It is vital.
And then next will be Ms. Shria Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. I believe that early education is extremely important for our students and our families to have to prepare them for kindergarten and first grade and beyond. And I would be interested in helping the district to make sure that all of our students do have the proper earlier education that they need. And if not, making sure we are partnering with the correct resources that will give them the proper education if we are not able to.
And lastly, Mr. Corey Williams.
As I stated in my intro, the district has seen me grow my family here. My daughter is now 2.5 years old, so early childhood education is very important to us. We are almost a 5-degree household. I'm working on my third, so that'll total 5 for us, and Brielle has no choice. She will follow in those footsteps. So we got to start as early as possible.
All right, for this next question, you are going to have 1 minute. How familiar are you with the curriculum being taught in our school district, and is there any aspects of it you would want to change? And going first for that question is going to be Ms. Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So I am not completely familiar with it. I actually just had a parent-teacher conference for my own child today and learned that they have a new curriculum in place with new standards and things that are happening. And it seems to be a bit of a struggle getting the students acclimated. So my biggest interest when it comes to curriculum is always having a curriculum that focuses on mastery, mastering the skills necessary for our kids to be proficient, again, in reading and writing and math. And then from there, we need to make sure that that curriculum is continuously adding on every year so we're not causing our students to repeat things and go back and making it difficult to gain that place of proficiency across the board. Thank you.
All right, second for this question is going to be Mr. Corey Williams.
My experience with the curriculum in the district, it's very different from the curriculum that I grew up on myself, and I'm the closest in age to some of the students who are attending right now. I believe that our information in our textbooks should be first and foremost current. It should be rigorous so that they are learning the proficiencies that they need, but most of all, it needs to be current. I believe when I first walked of one of our halls, when I first joined the board, there was a science book that I recognized from when I was in high school, and I joined the board at age 28. And so I had only been out of high school about 10 years, and I could recognize that science book when I saw it. And so I believe we've moved away from that science book now. But first and foremost, the information that's in our classroom needs to be current.
All right, and then lastly, Dr. Pamela Robinson.
I am aware that we have CKLA. We adopted a new ELA program. We are continuing to use Eureka, and it is K-8, I think, now. I also know that we do look to the state in order to, when we're considering purchasing curriculum, and we also look at the needs and the gaps that we need to close. I know that we have a new social studies curriculum along with social studies standards. I am aware of some of the content that is in our social studies curriculum. At this time, I don't feel anything is controversial or anything. I just know that we are working extremely hard to also supplement, but also use our curriculum with fidelity to ensure that we close our achievement gaps.
Okay, you will have 2 minutes to answer this next question. At Sierra High School, our mission statement is excellence in every endeavor. Our goal is to change the narrative about the Southeast Side. This is a three-part question. First, what is the current narrative of D2? Second, what needs to change? And third, what will you do to bring about this change? Going first will be Mr. Corey Williams.
Starting off, the current narrative of District 2 is we are building ourselves into the district that we know we can be. We are not allowing our outside neighbors or voices to control the narrative of what we have going on in our district. The things that need to change, we need more support from parents. Our parents need to understand that we're here from them. Here for them to help educate their students, and I know those there are constraints with parent support. Some parents are working and can't be there as often as we would like for them to be or as they would like for them to be, but the number one thing that needs to change for us is parent involvement. And how we are going about that, in the past few years, our communication channels have greatly increased. We are highly receptive to the information that's being brought in to us from our community. We are responsive and very quickly addressing whatever issues are coming about. But currently, I believe that the image of the district is great. They see us growing, and I think it goes along the lines of when you see that color green, it always means growth, and that's what we're doing here in D2.
Second will be Ms. Shreya Elliott's, Dr. Pamela Robinson, sorry. Yes, ma'am.
The current narrative within our community sometimes isn't as positive as it should. Currently, I'm working with UCCS, with the College of Education, so I get to work with other field supervisors. I work with student teachers here in our district. And I hear the different curriculum issues, and we, you know, UCCS has student teachers all over. And I sit there, and I'm so proud that we are on the cutting edge of what's going on right now as far as instructional strategies and so on. So proud. So what needs to change is I don't need to sit and just be proud. I need to speak how proud I am. We need our community to come back and become a community. When we talk about parent involvement, it is vital, but our parents need to feel comfortable coming into our schools. We also need to ensure that we take care of our families whose children are grown and gone, the older community. Let them know what's happening in our schools. Keep them very, very involved. Even if it's an adverse situation, we need to come together as partners for our children because you guys are going to be the ones taking care of us one day. So we need to give you that foundation. And so what will I do? I will no longer sit and be proud, but I will use my voice and I will show and I will tell just how wonderful the things that are happening. We have graduates who go to Ivy League colleges, scholarships galore. There is just so much happening here in D2, and we need megaphones, and we need to start telling it and not doing what I did in those meetings and just sitting there feeling proud. We need to say it.
Thank you. And lastly will be Ms. Shria Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So during my time of campaigning, I've heard a lot of concern from teachers as well as from parents and those in the community who are concerned about the education and what's happening in District 2. So for me, what I say needs to change is we need to become undeniably excellent at what we do. We need to do it in a way that the state can't oppose us. We need to make sure that all of our students are proficient, again, in the basics of the fundamentals. And then from there, what I will do to make sure that we do this is, of course, engaging our parents. I believe that they are the backbone of every student. They're a great cheerleader. They're a great support system. So we have to engage our parents in order to make this happen. And then we also need to help students create a success plan. What is it going to look like for you to leave high school? What does the next 5 or 4 years look like? And from there, we'll see that students begin to value their own education and value their own future so that they're making the necessary adjustments from day to day in the classroom. And then lastly, I would say that I would do whatever is necessary with the board in order to make sure that we are focusing on the district priorities that we have here on the walls today in order to see our students excel.
Moving on to the next question, you will have 30 seconds to answer. How will you increase the educational experience of the students in this district? And going first will be Pamela Robinson.
Increase student excellence. That is looking at the data and not just looking at it, doing a deep dive, really finding where are pockets of, I guess we need growth. Right now, we are just points away here and there with the state. Some places we're a little above and some we're a little below, but we need to do a deep dive. We need to look at those subclaims and we need to focus our instruction on, and when I say subclaims, those are those little units within reading and writing, math, that we need to work on. So we need to identify what needs to be closed that gap.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and repeat that question. How will you increase the educational experience of the students in this district? And then next for that question will be Shria Elliott Sterling.
To increase the educational experience for our students, I think about when I was an athlete and the coach always said, make sure you focus on the fundamentals. Fundamentals are so important in making sure you're able to do what's necessary in the next step. So to increase that experience, I'll make sure that we are supporting our teachers. Our teachers create an atmosphere within the classroom that really determines how the students perceive their educational journey. And so for me, I'll make sure that those teachers are excited about teaching those fundamentals, create a positive learning environment in order to do so.
And then finally will be Corey Williams.
Making education fun. Our parents love when they see their child come home with a star on their report card, or a star on a test that they took in class, or a smiley face, or something of that nature. Our greatest asset is our students, and our students are getting involved with helping our younger students study and become proficient in whatever they're learning. So keeping the learning environment fun greatly adds to the educational experience for our young scholars.
Thank you. And for our next question, you have 1 minute to answer. What do you see as current challenges facing public education in our city and state? Going first will be Shria Elliott Sterling.
Yes, thank you. So I believe overall our education is suffering in our state as well as our city. Not only are students leaving to go to college to get a degree that they later don't even use, but just at the K through 12 level, our students are also struggling to become proficient again in the basics. And so what I believe we have to do is get down again to those fundamentals. I keep repeating it, I feel repetitive, but those really are the basic things that will help our students to really think about the importance of education, create a plan for themselves of what that educational process will look like, and then begin to define for themselves what success in their future will look like with that strong foundation of reading, writing, and the educational basics.
Thank you. Next will be Corey Williams.
I believe the struggles of education currently are, and you guys are probably going to dislike me for this one, I see a lot of technology in the classroom that's not learning technology. I've walked into classrooms before and seen cell phones out, and social media is really crushing our kids right now. I think the less technology that's outside of the realms of education that we have in the classroom would help us greatly. I do believe that those outside influences that we're seeing on the social media, kids shouldn't be in the classroom worried about what's going on world news. They need to be worried about the test that's coming up on Friday. And so I believe those distractions are what's really keeping us from progressing as quickly as we could.
Lastly, Pamela Robinson.
And not taken away from either of those. Those are vital, but my biggest would be teacher retention. I think that if we could retain our teachers 5+ years, time enough for them to be strong in their craft and feel confident and comfortable, and then they can build those strong relationships with students, generational relationships. I think the success that we previously had at our school was we were able to teach. They called me the grand principal because my students' children started coming. But when you know a family and you know your craft and you know your content and you're so confident in that teaching and what you do, you now have time to build those relationships, get out and do community outreach, and it just becomes, it's no longer a job. It's your career. It's something you love. And so I really believe it's teacher retention.
Okay, for this next question, you will have 1 minute to answer. What should our school district be doing to ensure the safety of staff and students? And first to answer this question will be Corey Williams.
Well, we're already working on things like that. We just were awarded a grant for security and have greatly improved the security in our schools. I have access to our schools and was stopped after using my badge. After using my badge, I was stopped at a school, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? Is my badge not working anymore? Are my credentials not good anymore? And so even stopping us board members from, you know, progressing any further to list and say, hey, this individual has entered our building, is a great asset to the safety of our students and our staff.
All right, next for that question will be Pamela Robinson.
I feel currently D2 has done an outstanding job placing some really great SROs, building relationships with the law enforcement in the communities, the best grant, making sure entryways are very limited to getting to the, you know, the overall school. But I also think we're going to have to work on and continue to work on, which we're doing a great job with, social emotional also. There is just a lot going on, a lot of pressures causing everyone, you know, to just kind of blow or just can't handle things. And so I think we need to not only make our buildings safe and safe places, but we also need to work on some social emotional concerns that are in existence as well.
Thank you. And finally for that question will be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So I am aware that our district currently has some new things coming into place. I think one of the things we always have to do is not rest and relax when there is safety concerns within our state in our nation. So always reevaluating things from a new perspective and closing whatever gaps exist. One of the things that I see even as a parent is the dismissal process and the visitor process within each school. Another thing I think is important to start thinking about is how are we educating our students in the place and issue of drugs and fentanyl, an attractive drug that is out there in our community, and making sure our students are aware of those issues. And then lastly, I think that we always have to reevaluate disciplinary action to make sure not just that our students feel safe or that they know that they can come back after doing something that is misbehaving or something along those lines, but making sure that we're also reevaluating the metrics of disciplinary action so that we're making sure that our staff is safe as well.
Thank you. And for this next question, you will have 2 minutes to answer. Can you tell us what you know about the HSD2 strategic plan and what your role is as a board member to ensure it is successfully executed? Going first will be Pamela Robinson.
So currently we are on year 3. We focused on classroom, culture, and now we're on community. Well, we're still on all 3, I would say. We are definitely working, but classroom, really looking at that teaching and learning, and I would say that's what drove choosing new curriculum. And the culture, just helping with retaining, making sure there is a good connection between our superintendent's office and our teachers and our building leaders and so on, having a cohesive professional relationships, that's culture, as well as bringing in community, which is part of our culture as well. And so we are working on that community piece as well, in increasing stakeholders and their input and so on. And I just think that's vital. I really believe that simple 3 C's, but how effective. And just to think about classroom, culture, making sure people have a wonderful workplace, making sure our community is feeling good coming in, and then again working on that community piece. So collectively, I think that's a strong plan, as well as looking at increasing our data, looking at those gaps.
Thank you. Next will be Shreya Elliott-Sterling.
Thank you. Can you repeat the question for me?
Of course. Can you tell us what you know about the HSD2 strategic plan and what your role is as a board member to ensure it is successfully executed?
So I am learning about the strategic plan and how well it was implemented. I think I'm coming in at an exciting time because I'm able to reevaluate the plan with the rest of the board. And I believe that the best thing that we could do at this time is to be honest about that evaluation and what have been the obstacles to seeing the successful completion of that plan, and then helping the board to come up with improvements to the plan. So that's how I would like to help as a board member and what I see my role being in coming onto the board.
And lastly, Corey Williams.
Well, the strategic plan actually belongs to the superintendent. It is her plan of action to address the policies that we have set forth in our request of results for what we want from our students. Culture, for number one, the culture here in Harrison School District 2 is amazing. It's one of love. It's unmatched. When parents and students speak about their teachers, it's always of love. The classroom is always the focus. When I first got on the board, we had some teachers come in and ask us a few questions about what did we plan on doing about some of their emotional support issues that they were having. And I remember sitting there because it was a meeting that we don't usually have public comment, but I stated I wanted to hear what she had to say. And she said, yes, I need support in those areas because there was a lot of burnout. Teachers were very stressed at that time. And last, but certainly not least, the community aspect. We just
had our first graduating class of adult ed. This is parents and adults who are coming back to get their education, and nothing is more important than a child seeing adults thrive in education. That's a beautiful thing. It's also an inspiration, and like I stated earlier, Brielle didn't have a choice. She's going to school, so we get our degrees for our youngsters, and we continue our education so that they know that it's a building block for life. This is just the foundation. There's more to go from here.
Thank you. For this next question, you will have 1 minute to answer. How do you plan to ensure the Board of Education continues to have relationships with students in the district? And going first for this question will be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. And one of the things that I most admired about the district was seeing you guys on the board, seeing that we had students active and engaged in the board process, learning how to be leaders within the district. I also really appreciated being able to see our board members, or hearing that they are able to go to the schools and make those connections and do observations. So that's one of the things that I think that we should continue. Also opening up more opportunities to engage with students. I know Dr. Wendy is really great at having those open connections. So I'm really interested in being able to take down any barriers that would keep us from engaging with our students and creating more of a pathway for more interaction.
All right, answering second will be Corey Williams.
As a board member, I've been a part of so many events, and I'm glad that under our last election, we brought in board members that were willing to get into the schools as actively as past board members like myself have been. I've done fun runs with these students. I've been a huge cheerleader at the games. They'll tell you I'm running up and down the sidelines. That support of students is amazing. I've run a mile with a student who was the fastest at Pikes Peak Elementary, and the teachers were like, thank you, because I couldn't run another mile. Like, I'll do it for you. I got you. These kids are everything.
All right, and lastly will be Pamela Robinson.
I feel that I really believe that our current board is doing a great job. As Corey said, they are very visible. I know I was at a podcast and I was sharing a story of a board member visiting Africa and sharing that experience with one of the schools, and how our board members visit, and someone said, well, that's an anomaly. Is that normal? And I said, yes, it is normal for D2. So definitely being visible, continuing to be a part of the community that we all live in, being concerned, and just being their voice, having voice, and acknowledging the concerns as well as celebrating all of the successes. I think that we're on the right road, and I say continue, and then assess and improve.
Thank you. And for our next question, you will have 30 seconds to answer. What is your plan to work with students to ensure their voices are heard? And going first is Corey Williams.
I think Misha would know this one best. When I came to Sierra High School and we were looking for a new student board rep, I said, I need someone who wants to put on the cape. I need a superhero. And if you want to be in a room, I'll put you in that room. No matter what you think about that room, I will get you there so your voice can be heard.
And second will be Pamela Robinson.
Trust. The students are going to have to learn to trust in my follow through or whatever it is that they are asking. I remember last year working at the two high schools coming from elementary, and I was so excited. By January, they were beginning to trust me and saying hi and walking up. And so I'm going to need to follow through. If I say it, I'm going to have to follow through. If I'm asked a question, I'm going to have to get back to that student and so on. So I'm going to have to make sure I follow through and earn their trust.
And lastly, Ms. Sharia Elliot Sterling.
Thank you. So for me, my plan would be to be present. I think the biggest thing that we can do even as board members are to be present consistently within the schools in order to not just be someone who sits at a table or at a docket, but to be someone who that students know that they can be accessible, that they can access and reach out to and talk to. So that would be my plan, to actually be present in the schools.
All right, for this next question, you will have 45 seconds. How would you hold district senior grades accountable for achieving expected outcomes? And going first is going to be Pamela Robinson.
Could you repeat that, please?
How would you hold the seniors' grades accountable for... I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
How would you hold the district senior leaders accountable for achieving expected outcomes?
The senior leaders, the teachers, or is the leaders, or... I am so sorry.
I understand it as district senior leaders, as in your administration, your superintendent, senior leaders of your of your team.
Okay, thank you. For making sure the seniors...
As in seniors,
okay.
District senior leaders, okay. As in your superintendent,
okay. District okay. Leadership,
yes,
your board,
yes,
all of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Goals are set, and I know we have a coherent governance, so our superintendent has some autonomy in decision making, but there are also goals set through board policies and so on, and so it's going to ensure that accountability is, if we're saying we're going to do A, B, and C, then we're going to have to assess and make sure. So we're going to have to hold them accountable from the goals that we're setting or that are being set. And so that's how I would assist with that, making sure that our superintendent and district leaders are accountable for what we're saying we're going to do.
All right, next for that question is going to be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
So I believe in order to achieve any outcome, you have to have clear communication in order to accomplish the mission. So I would make sure that we do have clear communication with all the goals that we do create. Also making sure that we provide the necessary resources for our senior leaders to accomplish that mission. And then creating accountability and disciplinary action with the superintendent in order to follow through if things are not met.
All right, and finally is going to be Corey Williams.
Well, in order to facilitate making sure that our policies are met, the board actually regularly meets with the superintendent. That's pretty much the process of our board meetings. We work through an annual work plan. If you look behind you, you'll see some of our results, policies that we expect of Dr. Berhansel here, and we meet regularly to assess the indicators through monitoring reports and indicator reports to ensure that those policies are being met. She does have that autonomy because we use coherent governance, which just means we set and govern through the policies that we make for her, and she has the autonomy to seek those results as she sees fit.
For our next question, you will have 1 minute to respond. Do you think high school health classes should include a week of discussing dangers of drugs, guest speakers, CSPD, El Paso County sheriffs, nurses, etc.? And going first is going to be Shreya Elliott Sterling.
Can you repeat that question one more time?
Of course. Do you think high school health classes should include a week of discussing the dangers of drugs, including guest speakers, Colorado Springs Police Department, El Paso County Sheriff's, nurses, etc.?
I do agree. I think it's an awesome thing to bring in professionals who have experience with not just the negative outcomes, but also can help our students understand the importance of choosing the right path for their life. So dedicating a week to doing this, I think, will inform our students of the dangers, again, of participating in drugs and things that can really deter their life from going into the direction of success.
Second, Corey Williams.
Yes, I do believe we should be allowing outside resources to come in to speak to our children about the dangers of drugs. We should probably take it a step further and reach out to rehab facilities and adults who have suffered from said addictions, as well as those who may not have their freedom anymore because of dealing with such substances.
Lastly, Pamela Robinson.
I too agree that those are topics that are very, very important. I would say that it definitely, prior to these third parties coming in, we need to know exactly what they're presenting. It needs to be aligned to our health standards. And possibly we may need to also inform parents. So it may be some letter saying, hey, we're going to be discussing this, or we have some guests coming in. But I definitely agree that these topics definitely need to be discussed.
All right, for this next question, you're going to have 30 seconds. Are you a member of any parent groups? And going first for that question will be Corey Williams.
Unfortunately, I am not a part of any parent groups. Unless you consider being on the board and being a parent, no, I'm not a part of any parent groups.
Going second will be Pamela Robinson.
At this time, I am not a member of any parent groups, but not anything official, but unofficially, I am.
All right, and lastly, Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. I'm not a part of parent groups within the district, but outside of the district, I meet with moms on a weekly basis.
Okay, and for our next question, you will have 1 minute to answer. How can we engage students that have difficulty putting themselves out there? What can we add to get them more involved, i.e. clubs? And going first will be Ms. Pamela Robinson.
So I'm assuming that maybe these students aren't motivated. That could be, I guess you would say, really broad. Again, building those professional relationships with students, getting them to trust you. So whether it's a disability, whether it's a social-emotional issue, whether it's just someone not feeling comfortable, we've got to meet them where they are. We have to find out what is going on, what is it they need to be positive, to succeed in whatever it is we're asking them to do. And we may have to provide some motivators, but the foundation of those motivators need to be, you need to do it because it's just the right thing to do, and this is the outcome. Look at how great things will be if you do. But we definitely have to meet them where they are, and then we have to build them up.
Thank you. Second is going to be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Yes, so I believe in the power of a positive classroom environment and excellent teachers. I remember even from myself having a great teacher who was able to pull me out of my shell and just educating me on math. Math was not my strong suit then. I'm growing in it now, even as an adult. But having that teacher made all the difference. So having great teachers in the classroom, and even in the classroom instruction on teaching those fundamental basics, we can encourage our students and build their confidence in a way that when they step out of the classroom, they're confident and they're able to take on the next challenge that they face.
Okay, and lastly, Corey Williams.
Our greatest resource is our students. And so using students who may not have as many barriers as an adult to get to that student who may be unmotivated is the best opportunity. We often have restorative justice practices that involve our students. And so some of those unmotivated students may be going through something where an adult may just not be able to break that barrier, but a student possibly can. And if all else fails, we have some of the most phenomenal and high energy staff. I'll shout out a few, Kim Noyes over at Centennial and Chris Bowden over at Sierra High School. High energy individuals. I don't know how any student could say no.
All right, for this next question, you're going to have 1 minute to respond. What do you see as your role as a school board member? And going first will be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thanks. So I see my role as a school board member as one to bring courage and perspective to the school board. So I believe being a parent, being someone who was engaged in community engagement with a nonprofit, being someone who has been an admissions counselor, and I've been on the other end of what happens when a student gets their diploma, I want to be able to bring that fresh perspective of the urgency of now to what we do, as well as being able to bring that foresight that's necessary in the education process. And then I also believe that it's important for us as school board members just to be visionary and be able to be innovative in the way that we approach education. And so that's something that I would bring to the table, and I believe all of our school board leaders should have.
All right, next for that question is going to be Corey Williams.
I believe the role of a board member is to advocate for students' education on the behalf of the parents. The parents are the ones who vote us in. The parents are the ones who also have children in the district, whether our belief systems are different, whether we come from different backgrounds. We are to advocate for those children's education at all times. That is our role.
All right, and finally is Pamela Robinson.
And it's similar to Corey's. We're to ensure governance is followed, but I will go beyond, and I would say all constituents, the businesses in our community, because I know as a community, a D2 community, we have so many organizations that donate and give to us. Again, I'm going to go back to our homeowners who have no children, but we have bond issues and so on that we may possibly need to pass. So we also need to ensure that as a board member, that, you know, their voice are heard. Maybe they need to use a school to meet in or something. We want their voice and their vote as well. So I agree with both of those, and I just want to say we need to extend that outreach to community members who do not have children in our schools, and also all stakeholders, organizations that come in and help our young people as well, and as making sure governance is followed in policy.
Thank you. And for this next question, you'll have 1 minute to respond. As the popularity of social media rises, do you have an answer as to how students can be persuaded to enter a workforce with dwindling numbers or seek higher education? Going first is Corey Williams.
Please repeat the question for me.
As the popularity of social media rises, do you have an answer as to how students can be persuaded to enter a workforce with dwindling numbers or seek higher education?
I think that question means to, instead of becoming TikTokers and Instagrammers, right? Okay, I gotcha. Social media can be gone in a blip. The internet can be gone in a blip. Wi-Fi goes out here all the time. I get district alerts through my email. There's an issue with the network. If the internet is gone, we still need nurses. We still need police officers. We still need engineers. We still need builders. We still need daycare. Those professions are what will stand the test of time. They've been here before internet, and they'll be here after the internet's gone, if it ever disappears. But we most certainly need to teach the richness that it is to have a true career instead of just our TikTok and Instagram. I hope that helps you.
Second is Pamela Robinson.
I feel that we have a new department. It is no longer College and Career Readiness, but it's an extension of that. We're looking at the partnerships with the community colleges or Pikes Peak State College now. But bringing in, we had a wonderful career day over at Zalman, and a lot of those careers require certifications. And so there's just so many avenues now that students do not have to go to 4 or 6 years of college. So continuing to bring in those resources, bring in that career tech ed, all of those opportunities, and just making sure students have the knowledge and skills that they need to enter the workforce if they do not want to go to a 4-year, 2-year college.
And lastly, Shira Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So I think it's important to be honest with our students at this point and showing them the danger of social media. There's even many documentaries that list out just the creators of social media themselves not allowing their own children to be on those platforms. So I think it's important to be honest with students about, again, those dangers, and then giving them the reality of statistics. How many TikTokers are out there? What does it take to be successful at something like this? And then also, again, enlightening them on the different options and workforce opportunities that are out there that can make them the same amount of money, if not more, if they pursue those opportunities. So again, I think our students are wise enough to put those numbers together and to see and make those decisions for themselves, but we have to educate them on those crucial elements.
Thank you. This next question, you're gonna have 30 seconds to respond. There's been an active attempt to ban books around the country. What are your thoughts on banning books? And going first for that question is Pamela Robinson.
I think first and foremost, we need to, again, look at what our academic data is telling us. And choosing resources that align with that, we need to also ensure, for example, if we know that our social studies curriculum is warning us to teach, I don't know, Western civilizations or so on, just making sure we have the resources to ensure that we're teaching our students what they need to know and be able to do once they graduate high school. As far as banning books, in my opinion, I just, knowing that this is a nonpartisan, I just really don't feel that, my opinion.
Thank you.
All right, going next for that question is Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So I believe that books should always supplement approved instruction that teachers have. So as long as we have books that are, again, supplementing that approved instruction in that curriculum, then it should be allowed to stay. To be honest, as a parent, any book that is explicit in nature or sexual in content, I do believe should be removed from our libraries.
And lastly for that question is Corey Williams.
I don't deal too much in the book banning piece, but I do believe that all content that's taught in the classroom should be age appropriate and should be in the context of the classroom. And so anything outside of what should be taught in that particular classroom should not be allowed. Anything outside of that should not be allowed in the classroom.
Thank you. And for this next question, you will have 45 seconds to answer. What is your stance on educational equity? And going first is going to be Shria Elliott Sterling.
So my stance is that all children should have the ability to learn, which is something that I love about the nation we live in, is that all students do have the ability to learn because we do have public education. I do believe that we should make every effort to make sure that all of our students have the right resources so that they can learn and be proficient in what is necessary to be successful in life.
Thank you. Next is Corey Williams.
My stance on educational equity is you can't call your student the best student if they're not competing against a student that has everything that they need in order to be successful. And what I mean by that is if my student has a computer, laptop, internet, and a safe environment to learn, you can't say that my student is better than the student that's sitting next to her that doesn't have a laptop, that doesn't have access to internet, that doesn't have a safe environment to live.
And lastly, Pamela Robinson.
So when speaking of equity, we need to ensure that we're not talking about equal. Equity means having what you need. And so it's looking at what you need and ensuring if a student needs specifics, whatever it is making sure that student has what he or she needs in order to gain access to academic achievement or athletics or whatever, but it's making sure we have what we need, having equitable resources.
Thank you. We will now move on to the candidate closing statement. You will have 1 minute to answer. And going first will be Pamela Robinson.
So I thank you for this opportunity. I hope that my experiences in education, not just in D2, my commitment to this community, and just my hope for our students, the students, like my little one being born this afternoon, this tonight, as well as those who are currently serving in our schools, and they are serving. Our kids are doing, they're just doing wonderful things, but I hope my responses, there's something said that will encourage you to vote for me or to tell your neighbor, hey, vote for this lady, you know. But I hope something has been said that will encourage you to know that I could be a great candidate on the D2 board. Thank you.
All right, next up is Corey Williams.
It's been a pleasure to have served this community. It's been a pleasure to be a part of the D2 family. The past 4 years have been phenomenal. We've had so much growth, and I just hope that I can help us to progress even further. I would love to see us have 4 more years of astonishing growth in classroom, culture, and community. That is my biggest dream for us, to be more phenomenal than we've all already been. And I hope anyone who has seen any of my past meetings, chairing some of our board meetings, can see the passion that I have for our kids, and vote 2 for D2.
And finally will be Sharia Elliott Sterling.
Thank you. So it's been a privilege to talk with everyone and answer questions tonight. I'm really excited about the opportunity to run for District 2, and I'm really invested in seeing all of our students become proficient, not just mine, not just the kids that I know, but everyone. And I think that D2 has a great opportunity to be a standout among all of the districts within Colorado Springs. And so I'm excited to partner with the parents and the teachers and the students in order to make that happen.
Awesome. Thank you. Can we get a round of applause for our candidates, please? You guys did great. Thank you so much. And also, can we get a round of applause? Thank you to our moderators this evening as well. You guys did very well. Thank you. Our co-sponsors for being here and supporting the league. For those of you in attendance, thank you so much again for being here. And also if you're watching online as well. Again, we want to make sure you encourage everyone you know to vote in Harrison District 2. You are voting for 2. That's what I've been told. I apologize. I am in a different district than you. So you are voting for 2 on the ballot in November. Again, thank you everybody for being here, and thank you for voting.